Stacey Roberts is a physical therapist, a holistic registered nurse. She's the owner of New You Health and Wellness. She is the author of The Pain-Free Formula and the host of the Pain-Free Formula podcast. Welcome to the show, Stacey.
Thank you so much for having me, George.
Excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Absolutely. So I've been a physical therapist for, I can't believe this month will be 35 years. That makes me feel really young. And then I became a registered nurse a few years ago to expand my scope of practice. During that period of time, I stumbled onto a device that kind of rejuvenated my passion for anatomy, physiology, the human body, physical therapy, and my knowledge in functional medicine. I combined that with soft wave therapy, which is the advanced technology that I'm talking about, and built a clinic around that. To help people with chronic and acute pain, those people who don't want to have surgery or don't want to do any more injections or medications. We've got some non-invasive options and a whole program for them to be able to become pain-free.
And they work.
And they work. We're still kicking after 5 years, so that's good.
So why wouldn't everybody do that instead of taking a pill or going under the knife, for lack of a better term?
Well, I see a lot of people who've done that already and haven't gotten the results that they wanted. So, which is typical, because when you look at the pills, as you call them, when they're prescribed or even over the counter, those typically don't really help with healing. Actually, they can slow down healing, such as NSAIDs, and they can actually make you more hypersensitive to pain. So the longer you take them, the more pain that you actually feel instead of helping it. And so instead of helping you heal, it prolongs the healing process significantly. So, but that's the easy thing, right? We're conditioned to be, take that pill and everything will be gone. This was hit home to me so clearly, George. I used to live overseas, and once a year, twice a year, take a long trip back from Australia to the US. And at this flight, when we got to LA, we all had to get off the plane and take a bus to whichever terminal we were going to. And there was a mother and a son. I just kind of paid attention because the son was about my son's age at that time. And I was missing him because I had left him at home. So he was about 9 or 10. And he had his head in his hands. And he was kind of telling his mom, "Oh, I don't feel good. I have a headache." So as soon as he said that, she reached into her purse and pulled out a pill. And she said, "Hey, take this." And he's like, "No, I don't want to take it." He didn't look at her and said, "Take it." And he said, "No, I don't want to." And then she grabbed his arm and kind of pulled him in close and said, "Take it." Now, I felt for her because, it was a 14-hour flight. This is going to be a long day ahead and your kid's in pain. But it really hit home to me that if that was my mom or dad, they would have handed me some water. If I was at home, they would have said, "Go out to play." And really the water that she gave him probably with the pill is probably more helpful than the pill itself, really, to be honest. So we're conditioned from a very young age to think quickly, let's get rid of the pain. Let's take a pill to do it. And then we end up being adults and it doesn't often work for us, or those pills have caused other problems that they were just kind of covering up, and then they've manifested in different ways as we get older.
And that's certainly nothing that I don't think any of us want that.
Right. Yeah. And it thinks about that. Correct.
There was certainly a time before all these amazing pharmacological things came to be where we were able to heal ourselves and to not feel like crap.
Right. Exactly. And I think the other thing, too, is looking at our food. Like, nobody really wants to change what they eat, especially if they really like some of the things that they're eating. But what the new research is showing, that our gut has suffered so long for the types of foods that we're eating, especially if we're not getting diversity in our foods, even if we're eating healthily, but not getting the diversity, we don't have the good microbiome. We don't have that's a natural anti-inflammatory. So we can develop the, increased intestinal permeability, otherwise known as leaky gut. There's a substance within our gut that can get into the tissues of the body and into the joints called lipopolysaccharides that creates inflammation. So I know for me, even as a physical therapist, I was completely disconnected about how food could actually contribute to joint pain. You just are taught that, oh, you have arthritis or you got an injury and you're getting older, blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of research out there about the gut joint axis and how that can significantly impact the pain that we have in muscles and joints, also depression, anxiety, you name it. The gut really influences a lot of things. And we can develop food sensitivities that if we don't know about them, we can think they're healthy foods, but we keep eating them and they keep causing excess inflammation in our system, which also then can exacerbate, inflammation that's already in our joints or muscles. So it's a hard line to walk to have people to let's say, oh, we're just going to change your diet, we're just going to do this. So soft wave therapy is a nice adjunct because it's non-invasive. It treats localized inflammation better than I've seen anything in decades do. And if that doesn't work, then we know that there's probably more of a systemic issue contributing or biomechanical issue that we need to address. And then look at the bigger picture and take a more holistic approach to getting rid of that pain.
So can you walk me through an example? I think everything you said makes sense to me, that there could be far greater problems, but the soft wave therapy is a way to determine if, in fact, it's just a localized pain. If it's, is there a part of the body that you commonly use this on?
Can use it really on any muscle joint. So head to toe, you can use it. But let's just say, for example, a person comes in with knee pain. Okay. So they came in with knee pain. They twisted their knee on Easter, preparing, dinner and, twisted and wham, they felt some significant pain in their knee. They went and got an x-ray. They were told they have to have arthritis. The similar thing happened to me, although I was doing a polka at the time, not fixing Easter dinner. Went, had an x-ray. They're told they have arthritis and they need a knee replacement. Right. And then they have the knee replacement, and they still have the problems that they had previously. But let's back up. Let's say they come to me first for that for soft wave therapy because they have knee pain. If it's just localized knee pain, that meniscus surgery is really less of an option today because they've compared knee meniscus surgeries, arthroscopic surgeries, to fake sham surgeries where they actually just kind of cut a hole in people's knee and told them that they had the surgery. And then they compared it to people who actually had the surgery and the sham surgery participants, they actually did better than the people who had surgery.
Wow.
So they don't tend to do like a direct arthroscopy or surgery for knee meniscus pain, if that's what it is. So soft wave, if that's all it is, localized soft wave will get rid of that within three treatments. They'll be feeling amazing. Within six treatments, they'll be back to doing what they do, what they love to do. And then we look at their biomechanics, make sure that their strength and their flexibility and their footwear, all that stuff is good so that they are less likely to do it again. But what happens, George, if that person comes in and then they say, okay, my knee hurts. Didn't really do anything to hurt it. And you know what? My elbow's been bothering me and my shoulder is starting to hurt too. And that woman happens to be in a perimenopausal transition into menopause. It could be that her hormone levels, estrogen and progesterone, are starting to decrease. And those are our natural anti-inflammatories, just like for you, testosterone is your natural anti-inflammatory. So when we lose those anti-inflammatories, what can happen is we don't have the protection against inflammation. So foods that we once were able to eat or the alcohol that we were able to drink before that contributed to inflammation are now not having any natural anti-inflammatories to decrease that inflammation and pain. So those things start to pop up in joints and muscles as well too, as women who experience hot flashes or men who experience significant fatigue or brain fog, things like that when they have low testosterone. So when I see something like that where there's all these different things happening for kind of no reason or if it's on and off. So if you have hot flashes every night, it's probably hormonal, right? But if you have hot flashes one day and they're worse the next day, or you have brain fog one day, or you have constipation one day and it's worse the next, then I'm going to be thinking, what are you putting in your body that's contributing to this? So that's when we look at the gut and the food. And we also then look at stress because we know long term, when somebody experiences chronic pain, the brain changes. It becomes more hypersensitive. It becomes that protective adult that when a child is about to reach for the flame or about to walk in front of a car that goes, oh, no, don't do that. That's what our brain becomes more protective, even though there may not be as much inflammation or even no inflammation in the area that there is pain now. The body has just become had a protective mechanism, and hormones such as cortisol and low testosterone, even low estrogen progesterone, can manifest in more of that stress-induced type of pain that people experience when they're stressed and their pain significantly increases.
So my brain is increasing the amount of pain that I'm feeling.
Your body is becoming, or your brain specifically, is becoming hypersensitive. It's becoming overprotective. And we're making these connections, new neural connections in our brain that over time become the story or the path that we run whenever we are feeling like, ooh, I can't bend over to pick up my grandkids because that's going to hurt me. And then it becomes much more of an issue, even when we're not thinking about it, unconsciously as well, too. The brain is constantly trying to protect us. So what was needed at the time when it was acute pain, when it just happened and we needed to be protected so we didn't hurt ourselves, if we take things like the medications for long periods of time, if we, are doing things like cortisone injections over time, and that's not really helping, but it's contributing to degeneration, and we continue to experience this chronic pain, then these new neural networks in the brain are formed, and we actually become what we needed at the beginning, become something we experience later on in the chronic pain cycle, and we actually become more hypersensitive to pain.
Interesting. So if I have a broken leg and I try to get up and walk on it, my body's going to say no, and the no is going to come in the form of extreme pain, and that's
Exactly.
appropriate because I have a broken bone in my
Right.
leg. But as I'm getting older and my lifestyle, for whatever reason, I'm just not as healthy. I've got lower testosterone, more inflammation. My brain is still, or is giving me more pain signals, even though it's not this immediate need that I have this broken bone.
Yeah. Now, if you don't have a lot of inflammation, generally healthy diet, things like that, you don't have other injuries, things like that, you may not experience, pain all the time. You might just feel a tweak here and there. Everybody experiences pain. I want you to be able to experience pain so that you can protect yourself, right? Not hurt yourself more. If you don't experience pain, there's, genetic problems with people who don't experience pain, and they have much shorter life expectancy because, they can't tell that they're hurting themselves, and they can put themselves in danger. Your situation. So it's not that I don't ever want you to feel pain, but I don't want your life to be controlled by it, right? So not everybody's going to go down the path where they have all these aches and pains that are persistent. But if we don't change our eating plan, if we stick to the same pro-inflammatory things that we did prior to our hormones changing, if we play pickleball and we're not warming up because it's relatively straightforward to play pickleball. It's not like you need to do a 15, 20-minute warm-up beforehand. You can just jump out there. But if you don't do some stretching, don't do some preparation, you're setting yourself up for injury. And then all of a sudden your pickleball arm elbow hurts, and then your left elbow hurts as well too, even though that's not your pickleball, the one that you use in the pickleball racket. Then we start looking at what life changes do we need to make in order to still stay active and bring that inflammatory process in our body down.
I don't know that I knew that estrogen and testosterone were natural anti-inflammatories. So that certainly does make sense then. So it's like this.
At the Goldilocks level, I say. So whatever that level is for you, that's right. And whatever that level is for me, a balance between estrogen and progesterone, that is right. Those can be fantastic and are fantastic anti-inflammatory. When they're too high, they're pro-inflammatory. When they're too low, they increase the pro-inflammatory because we don't have that protective mechanism behind them.
Got to find that just right.
Exactly.
All right. So, is it ever too late? I've been taking medical pharmaceutical interventions and just been popping whatever it is, painkillers for a decade and not necessarily taking care of myself. But now I'm realizing, oh, I'm at an age where I need to really start this.
Never too late, but the longer you wait, the more challenging it can be. Number one, for you're kind of set, your behaviors are set in their ways for a longer period of time. So you have to be ready and willing to change those behaviors. I've sat across from people and said, if I could tell you for sure that, let's say it's coffee or let's say it's beer, if you gave up that completely, your back pain of 15 years would go away. Would you do it?
Tough
And then
one.
sometimes they go, they have to think about it. Like, it's not like, yeah, of course. They go, I don't know. So that's where, if you're not ready to make those behavioral changes, and some of it is that you just don't connect the dots, right? You just don't really believe that those things can cause this pain. And it doesn't have to be beer or it doesn't have to be coffee by any means, but if there are certain behaviors that you're doing that you're unwilling to give up, then it's going to be a lot more challenging. If you're on medications that you can't give up, again, there's things that you can work around, but we may not be able to get you to completely pain-free, especially if those medications may be contributing. But we can work around it and try to build around it. I don't tell people to get off their medications. If they want to, then we work together to try to do that with their primary care provider. So the sooner you do it, the better. But is it ever too late? I do not believe so.
I appreciate that.
Trying to make the changes.
Yeah. And it's hard. It is hard for us human beings to make changes because we follow so many different patterns and habits and routines. So do you find that there's a tipping point when somebody says, okay, I'm going to take kind of a leap of faith here. I'm going to cut out some of these things where and this is obviously, it's probably totally anecdotal, but say, wow, I actually do see this, and so I can see this through. Or when they pull the ripcord and they just bail on the whole thing and go back to taking the pills.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you hit the nail on the head with what the problem is, typically, like in our evaluations, we do very thorough evaluations via telehealth or with the person sitting across from me. And as I'm listening, I'm going, okay, is this a hormonal issue based on their symptoms? Is this a biomechanical issue based on their symptoms? Is this a stress issue? Is this a gut issue? So when you hit the nail on the head, and I'll use a couple examples for patients that had a woman come in, brain fog, joint pain, muscle pain all over the place, constipation on and off. So right away, she was kind of perimenopausal, but not really into it. So I'm like, let's start with your gut, the brain fog, all this type of stuff. And then when she started to make that connection between, we got rid of the foods that were irritating to her by doing a test called the ALCAT, ALCAT. And then we also gave her foods that she was able to add in. So that's the main thing, not just focusing on getting rid of foods, but adding in foods that she wasn't reacting to. And then that was 3 months. And she started to go, oh my God, I don't have the brain fog. She lost like 10, 12 pounds at first. She went on to lose 40 pounds by staying away from those particular foods. So once then she started to add the food back in, a couple of them, we ask if these are your favorite foods, add them back in. Then all of a sudden she started to have that pain again. She was like, okay, like the connection, she couldn't deny the connection at that point in time. So for some people, then they stay away from the foods. And for some people, for me, like for gluten, I'll stay away from gluten because every once in a while I'm like, oh, I haven't been on gluten for like 5 years. I'll just try it. And then my knee aches or I have pain in my back that shoots down to my leg and all that type of stuff. And I go, ugh, well, obviously I have to pay for it if I try it, right? So I think it's a matter of if it's a hormone issue and we can get hormones balanced, like their cortisol is an issue, we get that balanced. If they eventually need hormone therapy, let's say we tried the eating plan, tried working on their gut, symptoms have really significantly reduced, but they still have some pain or hot flashes, things like that, or men with very low energy levels. Then if they go on hormone replacement with the right person that understands how those hormones are balanced and how they work together, then that can be kind of the sealing the deal. A lot of times that's done too quickly, and that then acts as like a band-aid to all the other stuff underneath that's going on.
That makes a ton of sense. And how valuable that information is to know that you've been gluten free for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. So you try to eat something and you immediately have pain.
Yeah. For me, it takes usually like I get kind of cocky, like, oh, I can eat this. I feel good. And then the next day or that evening, I'm like, ugh. What did I do? Like I really tried for it not to be a placebo effect like that or a nocebo effect. So I really think I'm going to be good. This is good. I've worked on my gut health. I've worked on that for a long time. I'm going to be okay with this. And then no, it's just something that I know I can't have. Now that doesn't have to be for everyone. Not everybody has to get rid of gluten, right? So I don't believe in that. I believe every person has their own things that are contributing to the inflammation in their system, excessive inflammation. Because anytime, George, we eat anything, it creates inflammation. That's a normal thing. But when it's excessive and our body can't manage it anymore, that's where it can end up like as being joint pain or other symptoms like skin issues or mood issues or even depression, anxiety has been related to, the gut brain axis as well too. those lipopolysaccharides that I talked about earlier have been found in the brain. They shouldn't be there in people with that have anxiety and depression. So again, a lot connected to the gut.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Ask you a really broad question. What do you think about GLP-1 or whatever they are, drugs?
Yeah, you know, I look at that, not just specifically GLP-1, but my concern with all that coming out was, my question was over and over and over, and nobody could tell me, or and everybody assured me, nope, that won't do it. Something called feedback inhibition. So whenever you take a hormone, any type of hormone, exogenously, which means from outside the body, put into the body, that slows down your own production of hormone. Okay. The GLP-1 is a peptide hormone. So you are going, when you start taking that, especially at larger dosages, you are going to slow down your own production of it. Right. So I think it can be valuable for some people. But what's happening is when people come off it, we know that their GLP-1 and other cells that contribute to making GLP-1 are tanked. Right. They tank afterwards. So then they gain the weight back very easily, especially if they haven't had coaching in what they're eating, how they should exercise, all that type of stuff. Right. So I think the knowledge, I'm not against GLP-1, but I think the knowledge is, hey, we need to step back and go, if we put this in our body, what's going to happen as a result, right? What's going to happen as a result? And now there's actually a supplement. I'm not going to release the name at this time because I'm still investigating it. I don't want people to run out and buy it, but that has shown some research to show that it can naturally increase the body's ability to create GLP-1 on its own. So you don't have the side effects of constipation and all that type of stuff with it. I'm just researching it myself. Otherwise, I would let your listeners know. Maybe we can have another podcast in a couple months when I've done that research and let people know. So I think it's great to give your body something natural to improve that and try to figure out why you're having those problems in the first place. And maybe utilize the GLP-1s like hormone therapy, like after you've tried everything and maybe not as high doses. And maybe if this natural GLP-1 helps, maybe that will be a better way to do it so that you don't end up having the feedback inhibition. And then those peptide hormones are tanked when you stop taking those things.
So feedback inhibition, that is when I'm introducing a hormone into my body and that causes my body to slow down the production of the hormone.
So feedback inhibition is a normal thing that happens in the body. So my thyroid, for example, your thyroid, there's constantly, our pituitary is monitoring the amount of thyroid hormone so that when there's enough thyroid hormone in the system, it slows down another type of hormone. So it's constantly doing feedback inhibition to keep things balanced. But whenever we take a hormone from outside of our body and put it in our body, then our body goes, I don't really need to make that. So it slows down the production. If men take testosterone, that's the reason why their testicles shrink. That's where testosterone is made. So the factory basically closes up shop or goes down to very few shifts. So the testicles aren't creating the amount of testosterone that they need. So they start to shrink. And then sperm production also can decrease significantly or be completely stopped by taking testosterone production or taking testosterone exogenously or taking it from outside the body, putting pellets in the body, those types of things. So that happens with every hormone in our body naturally to keep a nice balance. But when we start working, trying to control our natural balance, if we don't get that right, it can really throw off things. Like, for example, I'm on thyroid hormone. We have a long history of thyroid stuff in our family. I'll never be able to get off of that because I've tried. I've decreased it to the lowest dose that I can because I didn't know all this stuff before I started it. But now because I've been on it so long, my thyroid won't make the amount of hormone, at least not yet that I know of a way to make that hormone without taking that hormone itself. So it's a natural process in the body, but we have to be aware of if we take hormones, it's going to impact our body's ability to make those hormones. Now, the argument for women going through menopause is those hormones are low anyway, but the adrenals are still making some estrogen, progesterone, even into menopause. So we also still have to be aware of the amount that we're taking and how those hormones kind of connect to and affect each other when we take them.
Fascinating. So we introduce whatever it is into our body and our command center recognizes, we have a lot of this, so we can shut down production of whatever that is that we've been doing and allocate our resources to some other part of our body.
wants to conserve energy, right? It only makes sense. Our body is so intelligent. So why would it, put its effort towards something that's going to be using energy that, like you said, can be used elsewhere?
I didn't realize that my body's brain or my body's command center didn't realize that Ozempic was such a wonderful thing. So anyway.
Nutrients are a little different, right? So we take nutrients that we're deficient in. Those don't necessarily cause feedback inhibition. We're talking about hormones. So it's not everything that we take in causes feedback inhibition, but some things, right? Especially hormones.
That is really interesting. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for coming on. This has been
Oh my
awesome.
gosh, George, it's been great to meet you and great to be on your podcast. Appreciate it.
Where can people learn more? How can they schedule a consultation? Where can they get their copy of the pain-free formula? And where can they listen to the podcast?
So we have, if they call 414-299-8121, that's my office, which is New You Health and Wellness. They can go to newyouhealthandwellness.com to take a look at what we treat and how we treat things. To find my book that was just released on Amazon, it got to an Amazon bestseller, which I was excited about. Thank you to everybody who helped with that. That's called The Pain-Free Formula, Solving the Puzzle of Muscle and Joint Pain Without Surgery, Drugs, or Injections. And then we also have a podcast called The Pain-Free Formula Podcast, which you can be found on iTunes or Spotify or anywhere that you listen to podcasts.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Stacey your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to newyouhealthandwellness.com and you can get in touch with Stacey that way. You can call them, check out the Pain Free Formula podcast, wherever you listen to your podcasts, and pick up your copy of the Pain Free Formula on Amazon. And I will link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Stacey.
Thank you, George. Take care.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.